Thank you for taking the time to listen to the Well Church Satterton's podcast. We pray that you enjoy this message and that it creates a well of hope in your life today.
Good morning, guys. So I just wanted to share a little bit about what the Lord did with me this weekend. On Friday night at home group, someone had prophesied over me, "What are you waiting for?" And I felt like it was in terms of like my walk with the Lord and especially like speaking the word over me. And so that really stirred me. And then sometime with the Lord on Saturday, I was listening to the song "I Love Your Presence" by Jen Johnson. And there's these lyrics that kind of confirm that word. It says, "If you want it, come and get it for crying out loud." Mm-hmm. And I just really felt like the Lord wanted me to share this with everyone to encourage us to relentlessly pursue the Lord in this season. And I really felt like the time is not sometime soon or later, but now. And he needs us in direct communication with us now. He's preparing us for things, and he needs us to be ready. So if you are waiting for a confirmation or reminder from the Lord to move closer to him, this is it. Amen. Bless you guys.
Marie, can you pray over everyone?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, thank you.
Lord, I just thank you for this time. I thank you for your presence. I just pray that you would pour your spirit out over us. Lord, that we would hunger and thirst for you and that we would encounter you in powerful ways, God. Thank you for anointing this time. We bless you, Lord, and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes, Lord. All right, I just invite everyone just to stand up. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you are speaking through. You are speaking through us, Lord God, and you are connecting the dots through all of us, because we all have a part, Lord God. I'm just going to wait on the Holy Spirit right now. We just wait on you, Holy Spirit. Just empty out all the distractions that may block us from hearing you, from feeling what you want to impart. We just open ourselves up right now to you, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Ask for big things, but for little things as well.
Yes.
Don't ever feel like your things are too small for him. He wants you to open up that communication with him. Don't be afraid to ask for little things, things that you feel aren't important. He cares about the little things. I just hear the Lord saying he cares about the little things. Ask for the big things, but also ask for the small things. Reopen up that communication. I feel like the Lord's just going to open up some blocked outlets that we haven't really been connecting with the Lord, whether that be through verbal communication, whether it be through our attentions. The Lord just wants to unblock blocked outlets right now. So there's just going to be an easy inlet, outlet flow to where we hear him and we feel heard. We feel heard by him. He wants us to know that we also are heard by him. So on the way here, I asked God for some things because I really felt like he said, ask. So I asked that today in worship, when we were in worship, that the Lord would heal some people. That the Lord would bring some healings in his presence today. That there would be some creative miracles that would happen in worship. I asked for it. Don't be afraid to ask. Don't be afraid to ask. Lord, we have faith the size of a mustard seed in this place. Every single one of us has faith the size of a mustard seed. So we ask. So just right now in your spirit, just start asking the Lord. Don't be afraid to ask. Open your heart to him. Open your heart. I just pray over every single person in this room, God. Enemy has tried to block, you are unblocking right now. You are breaking open doors. You are breaking open doors right now into deep places, Lord God. that have been closed off for too long. Right now, we break off any spirit of shame, right now, in Jesus' name. We break off any spirit of fear, right now. Be loosened right now, in Jesus' name. We are going to boldly enter your courts today, Lord God. We are going to boldly sit at your feet. We are going to boldly surrender and not be afraid, Lord Jesus. Lord, I know every single person in this room is different and has different needs and has different areas that need to be free, Lord. Do what you need to do. And if it looks different in every single person, Lord, we don't want to be caught up with that, Lord. Come how you want. Fill this space right now, Lord Jesus. My mind, my body, my spirit says yes to you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
You are present. a few weeks ago, if you were here, Matt shared a message about the unique church, the unique family that God is building here at the Well. And if you didn't hear it, I'd encourage you, it was on February 18th, so I'd encourage you to go back and listen to the podcast. Thank you, Tom. He talked about how our primary focus here is to get people to have an encounter with God, because people are changed more in the presence of God, even in a short time in the presence of God. People are changed more than any program we can develop or create. Amen. And he talked about the different gifts that are given to all the people in this church. He talked about how our hope is that along with helping people to engage with God, that they'll also become engaged with the church and use their gifts to serve. Since that week, we've been encouraging people to pray about where they can connect and serve. And these sheets are still available in the back there. If you haven't let Matt know, if God has spoken to you about helping out in any of these areas, the sheets are back there. You can fill it out. And I want to continue today along those lines, but I believe with a little bit of a different perspective. A key verse that we're going to look at today is in Romans 8, 28 through 30. But we're going to really spend our time, most of our time, in 1 Samuel 17, 1 through 46. So Romans 8, 28 and 30, a very familiar passage, says, "We know that God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love God. To those who are called according to his purpose, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And these whom he predestined, he also called. And these whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified." You know, there's a lot of different methods and ways that people can interpret Scripture. But for me, the most important thing, the way that I like to begin in interpreting Scripture, is to believe that it means what it says. So then we should believe that God will cause all things. You know, all the good things in our lives, all the difficult things in our lives, and all the ordinary and mundane things in our lives, he's going to cause that all to work together for our good. Our part is to love God regardless of the circumstance and to be committed to knowing and walking in the purpose that he's called us to and for. With that in mind, let's go to 1 Samuel 17, 1 through 46. It's a very familiar account. And by the way, I like to call it an account, not a story, because so many people today in the world view the miraculous accounts of the Bible as nothing more than a story, nothing more than a fable or a fairy tale. And this isn't a fairy tale. This isn't a story. This is what happened. It's what really happened. So 1 Samuel 17, 1 through 46. Fairly long passage, but again, familiar. It says, "Now the Philistines gathered their armies for battle, and they were gathered at Socah, which belongs to Judah, and they camped between Socah and Ezekah and Ephesus Damon. Saul and the men of Israel were assembled and camped in the valley of Elah, and they drew up battle formation to confront the Philistines. The Philistines were standing on the mountain on one side, while Israel was standing on the mountain on the other side, with the valley between them. Then a champion came forward from the army encampment of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath. And his height was 6 cubits and a span." And now, just to put it in perspective, a cubit is about 18 inches and a span is half of that. So Goliath was about 9 feet, 9 inches tall. It says, "And he had a bronze helmet on his head, and he wore scale armor, which weighed 5,000 shekels of bronze. He also had bronze greaves on his legs and a bronze saber slung between his shoulders. The shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and the head of his spear weighed 600 shekels of iron." That's about 150 pounds. "And his shield carrier walked in front of him." And I think with the description of Goliath and all these armaments, we can understand that the shield bearer was probably a pretty big dude as well. So they were pretty imposing figures. He stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel and said to them, "Why do you come out to draw up the battle formation? Am I not the Philistine, and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man as your representative and have him come down to me. If he is able to fight me and kill me, then we will become your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall become our servants and serve us." Then the Philistine said, "I have defied the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man so that we may fight together." When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and very fearful. Now David was the son of an Ephrathite of Bethlehem in Judah, and the man whose name was Jesse. And he had 8 sons, and Jesse was old in these days of Saul and advanced in years among men. And the 3 older sons of Jesse had followed Saul to the battle. And the names of these 3 sons who had gone into the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, Adonijah was the second, and the third was Shammah. So David was the youngest, and now the 3 oldest followed Saul. But David went back and forth to Saul to tend his father's flock at Bethlehem. And the Philistine came forward morning and evening and took his stand for 40 days. Then Jesse said to his son David, "Take now for your brothers an ephah of roasted grain and these 10 loaves and run to the camp of your brothers. Bring also these 10 slices of cheese to the commander of their 1,000. And look into the well-being of your brothers and bring back confirmation from them. For Saul and they are all, and all the men of Israel are in the valley of Elah fighting the Philistines." So David got up early in the morning and left the flock with the keeper and took the supplies and went as Jesse had commanded him, and he came to the entrenchment encircling the camp. While the army was going out in battle formation, shouting the war cry, Israel and the Philistines drew up the battle formation against the army. Then David left the baggage in care of the baggage keeper and ran to the battle line, and he entered and greeted his brothers. And as he was speaking with them, behold, the champion, the Philistine from Gath, named Goliath, was coming up from the army of the Philistines, and he spoke these same words, and David heard him. When all the men of Israel saw the man, they fled from him and were very fearful. And the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man who is coming up? Surely he is coming up to defy Israel, and it will be that the king will make the man who kills him wealthy with great riches, and he will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel." Then David said to the men who were standing with him, "What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and rids Israel of this disgrace? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he dared to defy the armies of the living God?" The people answered him in agreement with this statement, saying, "This is what will be done for the man who kills him." Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard him, and when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger burned against David, and he said, "Why is it that you've come down, and with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I myself know your insolence and the wickedness of your heart, for you've come down in order to see the battle." And I find it interesting here that David's brother said he knew the wickedness of David's heart. But later on, when God raised up David to replace Saul and become king, God said, "I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will." So David's brother thought his heart was evil, but God said he was a man after his own heart. It continues. David said, "What have I done? Was it not just a question?" Then he turned away from him to another and said the same thing, and the people replied with the same words as before. When the words that David spoke were heard, they informed Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, "May no one's heart fail on account of him. Your servant will go and fight this Philistine." But Saul said to David, "You're not able to go against this Philistine to fight him, for you're only a youth, while he has been a warrior since his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant was tending his father's sheep when a lion or a bear came and took sheep from the flock. I went after it and I attacked it, and I rescued the sheep from its mouth. And when it rose up against me, I grabbed it by the mane and struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, since he's defied the armies of the living God." And David said, "The Lord who saved me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he will save me from the hand of this Philistine." So Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Then Saul clothed David with his military attire and put a bronze helmet on his head and outfitted him with armor. And David strapped on his sword over the military attire and struggled at walking, for he had not trained with the armor. So David said to Saul, "I cannot go with these because I have not trained with them." And David took them off, and he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook, and he put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had. That is his shepherd's pouch, and his sling was in his hand as he approached the Philistine. And then the Philistine came and approached David with the shield bearer in front of him. When the Philistine looked and saw David, that he was contemptuous of him, for he was only a youth and reddish with handsome appearance. So the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come against me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine also said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the sky and to the wild animals." But David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with sword and spear and saber, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of the armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied this day. The Lord will hand you over to me, and I will strike you and remove your head from you. Then give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and the wild animals of the earth, so that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that his entire assembly, that the Lord does not save by sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will hand you over to us." And of course, we know the end of that story. We know that David was indeed victorious. And there's a few things that I'd like to highlight from the account. First, David's brother said, "With whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness?" So we need to recognize that David was only a youth, and the flock that he was given to watch over wasn't a huge flock. It was a few sheep. It was a small flock. But as we know, David wasn't really called to be a shepherd. He was called to be a great warrior, a great worshiper, and a king. David said, "Your servant was tending his father's sheep when a lion or a bear came and took a sheep from the flock, and I went out after it and attacked it and rescued the sheep from its mouth." David's time with the sheep really wasn't about the sheep. His time with the sheep was part of God's preparation.
Amen.
For what David was really called to do and to be. It was part of God working all things together for his good. Finally, it says, Saul said to David, "Go, and may the Lord be with you." Then Saul clothed David with his military attire and put the bronze helmet on his head. And it says that David struggled with these things because he wasn't trained in them. But he relied on the same things that God had used to defeat the lion and the bear. He remained trusting in the things that God had used to create who he was. Like David, we need to be confident in the Lord and in the way he's prepared us for his purposes. You know, we cannot nor should we try to imitate or duplicate the way God has prepared other people. We shouldn't try to do it the way they do it or the things that they do, but God has and will use all the things in our individual lives for our good and for the good of the body. I want to look at one other thing that God used in David's time as a shepherd, something else he accomplished in David's life. Romans 8:29 again says, those who he foreknew, he predestined to become conformed to the image of his son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. God said that David was a man after his own heart. David was conformed to the image of Christ, even though he lived before Christ had come. We saw in the account that David was prepared to be a great warrior by the time that he spent as a shepherd. But let's also look at how David was prepared to be one of the greatest worshipers of all time. Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I will not be in need. He lets me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You've anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Certainly goodness and faithfulness will follow me all the days of my life, and my dwelling will be in the house of the Lord forever." And you know, I love the 23rd Psalm, and we could easily spend several weeks just looking at and understanding how David's time as a shepherd forged his understanding of the heart of God. During those lonely times in the wilderness with the sheep, David's heart was conformed as he humbly and faithfully served in one of the lowest positions that was available in his time. Shepherds weren't very well esteemed. He was conformed to God's heart. He came to know and trust and depend on God, just as his flock could trust and depend on him. As we close today, I want us all to remember what 1 Corinthians 12, 8 and 11 says. It says, "To one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by one Spirit, and to another the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another interpretation of the tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills." And I don't know what each of your gifts are. If you don't know, then it's our job as a family to help you to find out. But what I do know is that Ephesians 4, 11 through 16 says this. It says, "He gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ until we all attain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man, to the measure and the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of people, by the craftiness of deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we're to grow up in all aspects of him who is the head, that is Christ, from whom the whole body is being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love." So we're all supposed to be built up. We're all supposed to grow up. We're all supposed to work together. And again, I don't know if you're called to be a warrior, a worshiper, or a king. I don't know what your gift is, but I do know that God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love God. To those who are called according to his purpose, that's every one of us. We've all been called. "For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And these whom he predestined, he also called. And these whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified." Like David, who God prepared to be a king as he tended that small flock, there's opportunities here for each one of us to grow and be prepared for the greater things that God has for us. There's lots of opportunities. It may not be what your final calling is, but God can use the things that you give yourself to prepare you for the great things that He has for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that and believe that indeed You do cause all things, all the good things, all the difficult things, and all the ordinary things in our lives to work together for our good. You conform us to the image of Your Son, that we would be restored to what You intended when You first created us, that we were created in the image and likeness of You. So help us, Lord God, to walk and to know the purposes that You've called us to. Help us to be willing to humbly serve wherever the opportunity is, that we may be prepared to do the great things You've called us to. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for taking the time to listen. We're glad that what the Lord is doing among us encourages you. For more info about the church, follow us on Facebook or connect with us on Instagram. Visit dwellatthewell.com or come out and see us on a Sunday morning, 228 Ridge Avenue, Souderton, Pennsylvania.
I'm taking a well, I'm taking a well right here. I'm taking a well in the valley of my weeping.